What's up, lemon heads? Welcome back to another episode of From the Yellow Chair. I'm Emily.
And I'm Crystal.
And today we're going to be diving into mastering digital marketing for home service companies, paid ads versions. And we got the guys from On Purpose Media here with us.
Y'all know, listeners, y'all hate PPC as much as the rest of us. You dislike it, but really I think it's just a bad case of like what I think I don't like about PPC. So we're really going to dig in. We're going to get down to some basics and then go a little bit deeper than that. I can't wait to sip some lemonade.
Let's do it.
All right. So it looks like we have our virtual guest. Now, are y'all in the same place? Are each of you in the same place?
No, we're about a 3-hour drive apart from each other.
Oh, Emily and I are 3-second walk from each other.
I mean, in our virtual office, because our team is fully remote. Like we're all over the place. We actually have a virtual office, and it's probably about 3 seconds for me to click to go to Evan's office.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, listen, we're really excited to have these two guys. Y'all probably know them. Those of you that are in the podcast world of HVAC and plumbing for contractors. So I want you guys to tell us a little bit about who you are and why anybody should listen to you two.
Well, for my beautiful face is the only reason that they should listen to us. And I guess Evan's wisdom would probably help out.
Well, so if you're watching this, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see that Thaddeus has changed his now on his screen to Thaddeus. But he was, I am awesome. That was his
name. All caps, in all caps. Yes.
Okay, yes. Make it clear. Yes.
I mean, so one of the things that we have On Purpose Media as our marketing agency, our podcast, HVAC Success Secrets Revealed. And when we started our marketing company, one of the reasons that we had a big frustration with digital marketing companies, we were in the print side of things before. We were chatting with business owners from all different types of niches, and there are always some level of frustration. There were some that had great things to say about their digital marketing company, but by and large, it was a lot of frustration because there was a lack of honesty and transparency in the marketing companies and what they do. And so we're like, screw it, let's just go for it and start a marketing company based off of honesty and transparency. And that's really where it came from in the marketing space or agency space itself.
I love y'all's name, On Purpose Media. And like, I feel like there's like some story or even just some like mission and stuff behind that. Can y'all tell us a little bit more like about the name or how y'all developed that or like, this is it, this is how we're going to go to market?
Yeah, we were going back and forth on what a good name would be. We didn't even really know. I mean, it was our first kick of the can of running our own business. And we were just throwing around a whole bunch of different ideas. And Evan talked about one of his hold co. They have a holding co and it's On Purpose Enterprises. And I'm like, oh, On Purpose, that sounds really good. I think we can build around that. Can we take it? He's like, yeah, sure. He's like, it's different than On Purpose Media. And so we're like, you know, we can be off self and on purpose. And so when we're not thinking about ourselves and we're thinking about others, that's what off self and on purpose means. When you got a bigger vision, a bigger brand, a bigger want, a bigger care, a bigger impact, whatever those things are in relating to, I say, our core values. And one of them is purpose driven, right? Are you bigger? Are you part of something that's bigger than yourself? And when you're part of something that's bigger than yourself, now that's where you can move the needle and that's where you can have great success.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot to say, you know, for companies. I, you know, like people say all the time, like, where'd y'all come up with lemon seed? I'm like, I didn't. Emily did. And I let her take full credit when she's with me. When she's not with me, I'm like, oh, thank you very much. but, you know, and it makes people understand, like, oh, y'all are like, this is very memorable. And we're like, good, because we're a branding company. Like, it's a lot of what we do. So I know that we've shared with you guys just in passing. We see you guys at a lot of shows and things like that. How frustrated we become for our clients around their paid ads strategy. So, you know, we've talked to several people who know a lot about SEO and search engine optimization. And so today's episode, we were trying to focus on like this tangled web of what I call PPC. Because I have clients that are $2 million spending $30,000 a month, clients that are $30 million spending $2,500 a month. What is the deal with actual pay-per-click? Like, how does it work? Like, give us a little basic rundown.
Well, I mean, from a basic level, it's bidding on keywords that are being searched within the Google platform. You can run it on Bing as well, or DuckDuckGo, or any of the search platforms. But it's bidding to try and get in that top spot, which the data shows from different software companies that about 11 to 12% of people are clicking in the paid ad section. So when they're searching for AC repair near me, or plumber near me, or electrician near me, about 12% of those clicks are going to the ad section itself. The thing that I like to paint the picture of with clients when we're talking to them is, one, you want to own the SERP, or the search engine result page, right? So the local service ads, the paid ads, the Google Map Pack, and then the organic rankings down below. If you're not in number one in all of those spots, but you are showing up in every one of those spots, what is the likelihood that someone is going to click on you when they're consistently seeing your name? I would like to think those results consistently go up, right? And so being able to dominate that page in your area is going to be incredibly important. And the paid ads part is a part of that. The other part is looking at, well, what is the psychology of someone who's clicking on an ad? Well, they're too lazy to scroll down the page.
Imagine that.
Right? And so what type of a buyer profile is that? Well, that's someone who's not wanting to do the research. They just want someone who can solve their problem now.
Quickly.
Right. And so is it worth it to spend a little bit more to get that lead in the door? In a lot of cases, it's yes. But something else that we can talk about as we go through this is looking at, well, does it make sense based on the business units that you have and how efficient you are at booking those jobs, how efficient you are at selling on those jobs, et cetera. So
we can you'll hear me say this a lot too. Like, you know, this is a partnership. So like you really can't just give things to vendors. So, you know, Lemon Seed is like a marketing coach. We sit in between the contractor and their vendor partners, and we help facilitate their branding and all of those pieces. So a lot of times we deal with multiple digital vendors, and they all have a different style. But one of the biggest common factors is lack of contractor engagement with the vendor. So a lot of times I'm like, so how is this X amount performing for you? And they're like, they try to make me get on a meeting, but I hate meetings and I don't really know what to tell them, but it doesn't work. I was like, yeah, so that's not fair, because they're using best practices, but they don't know the intricacies. Like, you were down two technicians, you couldn't answer the phone, you were down CSRs. All of those things are very important to the overall success.
Right.
It's not as simple as they think.
Right. Or a lot of people just think like, hey, I can just throw more money on this, even if I don't want to, but just like, it must not be enough spend. But you're right. You got to get to the core of the problem. It doesn't matter how much money you're spending if you can't operationally execute on these leads.
Well, and you think about the consumer experience that's going to go through if the person clicking on that paid ad, as Evan had mentioned, well, they're too lazy to scroll to the bottom. They don't really want to do the research. So when they go to your website or a landing page, you know, if you're just sending traffic to your routine website, but it's not designed to speak to their pain point,
it's designed for SEO,
it's designed for Google. Okay, well, is that person actually going to convert on that page, right? The other part too is if they call, what's the experience like when they land on there? What's the operational aspect of things? You know, are you able to answer the phone right away? Because if you're not able to answer the phone right away, you're like, right when they call, they're gone. They're moving on to somebody else. It's hot outside. They want their air conditioner fixed, right? It's cold in Canada. They want their furnace back on.
So one day I told one of my clients, I said, gosh, from 11 to like 1:30, like, anybody that calls during that time, like, you're not booking them. I don't know what's going on. He's like, yeah, my answering service. I was like, wait, time out. Your answering service. He's like, yeah, my phone's roll from, and I'm like, number one, that's ridiculous. And number two, you got two problems. Number one, you got somebody taking advantage of a lunch hour. And second of all, you've got a answering service that is either they don't understand what their why is, like why they are answering the phone, or there's some sort of other issue. And then also on your Google local services, like, you don't answer the phone. Like, why? None of these calls were booked from the weekend. Yeah, we don't answer the phones on the weekend. It all goes to an answering service. I'm like, or to an answering machine or to a voicemail. And I'm like, okay, what? Like, we're just paying for stuff, but we're not actually going to do anything with it. And then we're like, this doesn't work. Yeah. And I'm like, that is a lie. It's a lie. And what it is because we don't want to give – we don't, number one, let me defend contractors. We don't know what to do sometimes. So we just automatically assume that it's y'all's fault or my vendor's fault. And so I will, the first question I say, they'll say, well, I'm spending like $10,000 a month and I'm just not getting anything for it. And I'm going to say, how do you know that? How are you measuring get anything for it? What's that mean? And odds are I'm going to get a collection of, well, my Service Titan doesn't show any revenue. Or they're going to say, well, just nobody ever says. I was like, yeah. So have you ever told someone, hey, I'm calling your company because of a pay-per-click ad? Is that what you say? No. Okay. So the rest of the world doesn't either. So they probably said Google or something. And so they're like, oh. And then before we know it, I told Emily, like, I tell this to my clients too. We try to be like foster parents. Our goal is unification, right? Our goal is to unify the partner, the contractor vendor relationship, not destroy it. So I'm not here to destroy a digital company. I'm here to figure out what they need from us as the contractor to make our relationship better. And if everybody started approaching it that way, don't get me wrong. I mean, sometimes I'm like, okay, this person, these people aren't prepared for the HVAC industry. That's normally how I get my way around saying these people are terrible. It's like, they're not really suited for our industry. but yeah, a lot of times it's really because there's just zero communication because the expectations were not set clearly up front a lot of times.
And I think contractors are bad about like feeding off each other. Like they get one little horror story and that horror story like dives into this much bigger monster and they just share and everyone like hones in on that negative aspect of it. And they get so scared and distrusting of it and stuff. And so we see that a lot. But so how do you guys like develop your strategies? And like, how would you coach your clients to like, hey, here's how we're going to have a successful digital marketing approach. Like, what does that look like for, with you guys?
Well, I think one of the things is making them aware first and foremost, because, and this is something that both of you touched on, is you don't know what you don't know, right? And people think that ignorance is bliss. And I've said this time and time and again, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is pain.
Ignorance is expensive.
It's incredibly expensive, right? Yeah. And especially when it comes to PPC and ads, like it's so easy to lose your shirt over PPC because it's expensive.
Yeah. So I have a client that's in what I would call a metro, not a major metro market, but they're near the Austin area. And we were talking to them and they rebranded and we were just visiting and she said, you know what? She said, I'm spending about $20,000 a month in pay-per-click. And I was like, okay. She's what, $4 or $5 million contractor and plumbing only too. So, I mean, not really, that's not a super small plumbing shop, right? So I was like, okay. So in my mind, I was like, man, you hate to really rock a boat because something got them to be whatever, $4 million plumbing shop. So I'm like, man, I really hate to rock the boat. But the more and more I dug into it, the directional read off of their actual ROI was extremely hard to align because I was like, man, how much of this is just so much exposure? The homeowner seeing so much of the ads that they then go direct search, like, there's a lot to say there. So she was like, I don't know that I can see this. I think I'm way overspending. And she might be, but we don't have near the data that we need to really say if that's true or not. And you can't really go back in time either. So now you have to start measuring. Like, it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Like, have I been a fool for 2 years? Like, way overspending? But then
like, if you had a 10% budget for marketing,
yes.
You know, that's $400,000 and she's spending $240,000 a year on PPC.
Yes.
Like that is an incredibly large percentage all bucketed into
one tactic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know,
if she's fucked.
But the other part, if it's working, she's growing, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And that was the struggle. Like, man, it is like we're hurting over here. So, you know, and then on the same day, like Emily and I will talk to a client that, they're like, man, I'm just way overspending. And I'm like, oh gosh, this client's fixing to tell me. And they're like, I'm spending at least $800 a month in PPC. And I'm like, are you in Atlanta, Georgia? Like, you're not, $800 was two people looked towards your ad. Like, that's nothing, you know? And so just understanding, this is what I want contractors to understand. I use this analogy a lot. I don't know how old y'all are. Emily is. Smells like a junior high. Smells like the junior high. She's young, but
Gen Z-er.
No, I'm a millennial.
Oh, word.
I'm just old. No, okay.
Born in the 90s, so that hurts Crystal's heart.
I was born in the 80s. So
me too. So, Like y'all know the show MacGyver. So MacGyver was not an expert at anything, right? So like, but he always was able to fix things because he knew enough about a lot of things to make good decisions. So I always try to tell people, like, digital is one of those things. Number one, you have to trust the partner that you're with. You have to trust that what they're doing, it has your best interest. But you also have to participate in the sense of, man, it's going to be tumultuous. Like, we're going to have months that we really win, months that we don't win as much. And when demand is down, like, who do we blame for that? No one but, like, the people of our market. Like, we can't blame a vendor when demand is down. But I will say that vendors have gotten really good about being like, oh, demand, it's just a demand issue. And I'm like, no, other people were having demand. So it was 116 degrees outside in Texas. So there was demand. We just weren't situated correctly. So like, let's back it up, you know? So I try to tell contractors, like, just learn enough to where you can have good conversations. You don't actually have to go buy the ad placement yourself, you know, and optimize it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly it. You need to know enough to have a conversation, but you don't know how to execute and do it. If you're to send me into a Google Ads account, for example, I know a very basic limited amount of Google Ads. We run a marketing agency that does Google Ads. Send Evan into a Google Ads account, different conversation. He knows a lot more about it, right? Now we have a Google Ads specialist on the team that handles all, like, everything in the intricate nuanced details, but I can have a conversation. I'd probably be like the equivalent of what a business owner should know when it comes to PPC. But the thing that you mentioned, demand is down. Since we're on the topic of PPC, I want to give two little things that I wrote down. One, in this goes back to earlier, you know, on the phone, when you kind of briefly mentioned, how did you hear about us? And some people ask that question. That is, Michael Torbay was on our podcast and he went off the chains on this comment. A lot of people, when somebody calls in, first thing they say is, oh, how'd you hear about us? Well, my air conditioner is broken and you're concerned about your marketing. Why? Like, no, I just want you to solve my problem. It's okay if you ask that question maybe at the end of the call. But to your point, they're just going to say Google because they don't actually remember. Or they might say radio or billboard, even though you don't run radio or billboard ever. Consumers just don't understand that. But the other thing to do when demand is down. Now, if your job board is potentially full, let's say, and somebody calls in, this could just be anything, not just PPC related. Somebody calls in and you know that you can't get to that repair call today or tomorrow because your boards are full. That's okay. Grab their information first before you tell them that the board is full.
Yes. Okay?
Now, when you have their name, their phone number, all of their information, well, you might not book them because, well, your board's full, but now you can follow up with them later. Now they're in your ecosystem. Now you're in your system. So when it comes to shoulder season, when it's slower, guess what? You've got a bigger leads database to be able to drum up demand yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Don't sleep on, like, you know, I tell everybody, you know, operations, the three-legged stool thing, like Ben Stark from Go Time, that's the first time I'd really ever heard it put that way. And then I use a couple of different analogies, but you know, if marketing can be pumping along really good and your operations suck and it's over with. And on the other side too, like, you can have really good operations, but demand hit you and some weak marketing. Or, I mean, we had a client that lost like two very important members of their team just butting of heads. And all of a sudden their marketing was tanking. Well, by the time they called Lemon Seed, it was so deep in the weeds that, like, we literally had to scrap everything and start over because their operations were chucking along like they had this great marketing plan. Well, these marketing people left and they really didn't make sure that there was loose ends tied up, anything for the next month. So they went from, like, literally going 100 miles an hour with all these things to, like, hitting a brick wall. And I was like, man, your operations now are pumping great. This is literally a marketing problem. Like, you're getting no leads. But most of the time, it's not a lead situation. It's an operational issue. And then on the backside of that, it's that just being priced correctly and things like that are affecting true growth. So really, most of the time, there's so much more to saying my advertising's not working, my PPC's not working. I'm like, man, that is an onion that we just got to start peeling back because it could be so many things. But you're right. Like, CSRs really need to be really good at just get the information and get the call, book the call. Then we'll worry about the intricacies of each in particular thing. But, you know, and I have a client right now that really wants to come on board, but they don't have a CRM. And I'm like, I just feel like we're going to be throwing money in the wind and, like, just praying it lands somewhere. Like, we have no way. They don't want to invest in call rail. They don't want to invest in things. And I'm like, man, you're literally we're like flying an airplane with our eyes covered, like just seeing if we can not hit something. Like, well,
as soon as you said that, as soon as everyone here on the call, their eyes got real big. Like, you only have CRM? Like, you know.
I mean, like, what are you? So I literally said, hey, I really want you to be a Lemon Seed client, but what are you using? Like, I just use QuickBooks. I'm like, yeah. So QuickBooks is a finance software, sir. It's not, it's not a software that like is meant to mine your data. Like, you know, I could go on and on about things like that, but it comes down to marketing is not a Band-Aid for bad operations. If you think you have problems now, make the phone ring more and really watch your problems escalate. Mm-hmm. And if you're not priced fairly, you're going to lose more money. You're just going to lose it faster. Like, you know, but they don't really grasp that. So tell me about budgets. I know that's a tricky situation. Everybody kind of tiptoes around it. But, you know, let's say you're in a rural market. So not a metro, not a Phoenix, Dallas, Houston type area, but just a simple rural area. Do y'all have some advice on spend, or at least a way that y'all try to look at what you should spend?
It kind of comes back to demand, right? How many calls are you generating off of the marketing that you're currently doing? And what is it that we need to fill the gap between where you are and where you want to go? And then that's how we'll dictate where the budget needs to be. But the other component of it too is what type of calls are we looking to get, right? Whether that's a maintenance and a service call, are you looking for sales calls? Are you looking for demand calls? And then how much capacity do you have on those jobs? And coming back to what I said earlier, what are your efficiencies around that job type and that business unit, right? Because if we get into Service Titan and we start pulling reports on what your booking rate is on a demand call, and if that number is 30% less than what it is on a tune-up call, well, maybe we don't want to spend there because you're not able to get those jobs on your job board, right? We had one client where their repair average ticket was $300. Well, when you're in San Antonio and the average CPC in the summer, you're looking at $100, $150, $200 a click, not a conversion, not a call, a click. You know, it doesn't make sense to run that job type for them because they weren't turning over leads. They had a great technician who was masterful at repairs and he didn't want to sell. Well, that doesn't translate to running a lot of repair calls, vice versa. On the flip side of that, though, they had a tune-up technician whose child suffered from asthma. So big believer in IAQ equipment. They could sell it without even trying. Why? Because they told their story and they talked about it and they could relate to people. So they had a $2,400 average ticket on maintenance calls. So we went after that all day long, and those calls tended to be a little bit cheaper. So we were getting a better ROI, a better return for the client. They were happier. We were able to fill up their job board the way that they wanted and generated more revenue out of the dollars that they had to spend.
But it had to be like an analysis and like self-reflection of like, well, I just want the phone ring. You know, that could be a blanket. Yeah. Like just any call is a good call. But like what you're saying is like you have to – one, know your numbers. What are you looking for? This you can determine what that gap is to develop your budget, what type of call. And so it takes a lot of self-reflection. I know it's kind of like contractors, like is it the chicken or the egg? Like, do I have to do the marketing first so that I can get the calls, or I have to have some calls to know what I'm looking at, what I'm missing here, things like that. But it definitely takes that conversation and that coaching to help guide them and educate them. Here's how we're doing it. Here's why.
Our goal is to get them to spend less, not more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How can we get more through the door for less?
When we always start, like we know at Lemon Seed, we're building out quarters at a time for the most part, like quarterly promotions around the replacement of a heating and air conditioning or plumbing system, maintenance, and then service and repair. So what can we do to actually be the one someone picks for service and repair, IAQ, and then any other additional services like if you're a dryer vent cleaning or generators or whatever. So we're trying to run all four of those because, man, if we all of a sudden, let me get a hold of a good lead magnet for replacement and I'm going to come for like cut everything else because I'm going to make so much more money off of those. And it's just, again, it goes back to the importance of an active, engaged relationship with your digital partner and making the meetings and communicating with those things super well. So here's another question that I get a lot. So if they were going to start, let's say they didn't have a large advertising budget. And so they invested in a website with good SEO. You know, they were starting simple. And then they're like, well, when should I do paid ads?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so dependent.
Yeah,
that's just it. You're going to get a marketer's favorite answer, which is it depends.
Yes, yes.
Right? It's our go-to for everything.
But it depends on, number one, let's go back to market size, right? So I tell everybody, if you're a brand new, fresh company starting off in Phoenix, you probably can't really even, not only are you not even playing in the basketball game, I don't even think you can afford to park in the parking lot at the arena of the basketball game. So like, what should someone do? So if they can, they've got a website, they're starting SEO, what should they do for immediate lead capturing? Like a PPC.
I mean, depends if they have budget coming in too or not. Do you have investors behind you? Do you have previous experience running the business or not? Right. If you're coming in from having been a general manager at a business for 10 years and now you've got backers and financial backing to be able to hit the ground running and go hard. Well, you know what? You could probably spend money on PPC because now you have the financial backing, plus you have the acumen to back it up. If you're brand new and you're green, you're a tech and you turned into a business owner because you want to run your own business, well, you probably don't have the financial backing. You might not necessarily have the experience. And so PPC might not be the right fit for you at that moment in time until you shore up your operationals.
So Emily and I talk about this. I call it the little like lemon seed cocktail of success. So I'm like, SEO, we got to have a glass to put this in. Okay, so like if you don't have a website that's good SEO that looks good, everything else is going to struggle. So the next thing that I try to get was like, you got to get verified for Google Local Service Ads, because I felt like Google Local Service Ads was Google's attempt at like evening the playing field a little bit more. Like it's super hard to really be totally out of the kicked out. You know, as long as you stay relevant, you should show up. And then PPC is like literally just the garnish. Like, just a nice piece on top. And so not always can we add garnish yet. Like we might need to sit over here until we get some revenue, because I see people all the time like, I'm putting $350 towards PPC. And I'm like, man, you might as well just burn that $350 up with a lighter. Like it's not even worth it, you know? No.
Well, here's a better use of your $350 is go print off a whole bunch of door knockers and flyers with a tune-up offer if you're good at tune-ups or whatever your offer is. And every time you're at somebody's house, well, do you go drop those five to the left, five to the right, and five across the street doing the clover leaf pattern from that? Or do you have more time than you have money? Well, if you've got more time than you have money, well, then guess what? Go print off even more of those and just go hang them up on doors, right? Okay, you're using that time to be able to get out there. But again, it's also about repetition and frequency on that. So again, if you're going to do jobs in that area, well, then maybe go back to that same area and go again another month to be able to continue to hit something with an offer that is good for that. One offer that's actually good in terms of like the aspect of things is not necessarily offering a specific tune-up, but hey, we were just at your neighbor's house. Let us know if you see any dirt or debris or anything on your area. We'll come back. We'll fix it for you, right? And so now you're not actually selling anything. You're just giving them something that is a food for thought. Like, hey, that company was caring. Wow.
Yes. Like they were so nice. They made sure that no trash blew in my yard. I mean, I agree. So, you know, we push a lot of like community things. So the other day I got this contractor. So he's 20-year-old company. He's going to do about $3 million. And he calls and he's like, man, for so long, I've just kind of coasted. $3 million was a good number for me. I was drawing a good salary. My team was happy. We really weren't pushing the envelope. But now I've really inspired, like I really want to hit the gas. I said, listen, you have done everything that you need to do to just be a good person, a good business owner. Now this is where we separate the men from the boys, because we are now going to complicate. We're going to be, it's going to feel expensive. Because we've garnered everything that we can get from doing natural community driven referral things. And I tell this story all the time. Why do most multi-level marketing things fail? Well, because they run out of friends and family to harass to sell products to. Mm-hmm. So once you've sold to your friends and family, now you've got to really start working hard. And that working hard starts looking different. And so I'm telling everybody, like, I'm here for you. Like, we are going to come along beside you and give you tons of ideas. But when you hit the gas, it's a whole different kind of moving forward. Because all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm spending this money and I can't see it. And I'm like, well, some of this is a marathon strategy, right? Like SEO, it's a marathon approach. Like We're it's long term, short term sprints, like clover leafing these houses with yard signs and things like that. But yard, by the time I tell them that, they're like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. You know, that's part of it. So
or, yeah, they just don't think it's cool and flashy enough to do door hangers or yard signs or something like that. And then like, so then there's like, I just won't do anything. And you're like, please just do something.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you another thing that's really like firing me up lately. The other day I get this again, 2 or 3 year old contractor doing like right at $1 million. I'm like, oh my gosh, you've done great. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, but I've got to get on this rehash stuff. Like I'm watching all these people and they're making money. And I was like, yeah. So you understand that that is their database. How many people are in your database right now? Oh, I probably have 200 or 300. Yeah. So that is one campaign for 1 month and you're done. Like mm-hmm. you need to have like 5,000, 2,000, or else there's nothing to go to. Like you're going to a well that's dry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, social media messes people up. They live the life of like, look what they're doing. I should do that. So like, let me come spend $10,000 in PPC. I'm like, sir, you don't even have a brand. Like the name of the company is still your name. Like we need to do some more work, you know? And they're just following like anyone and everyone that's out there and like the newest and latest and greatest. And when my brother was running McWilliams and Son, I used to be like, so like, oh, let me investigate that. What is that? Let me. And I would get frustrated with Trey because he wouldn't do the new things very quickly. And he was like, listen, I'm going to let these other people jump. And if any of them come back up to the top and don't drown in it, then I'll look at it. But you got to let, he's like, I'm not going to be a tester of some of this stuff. And I remember the first time he jumped on Rilla. When Rilla first came out, I was shocked. I was like, I cannot believe that he did it. It was in the open the first 15 years of their life. Because he is a big believer. Like, you jump into some of these relationships with these different vendors that are popping up here and there. And they fail and you fail sometimes because you've put so much trust into them. Mm-hmm. And so rehashing is also a struggle, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, any type of advice that you see online is a struggle, and the, as Thad put in the private chat, the gurus that are out there and the things that they profess. But we had one of our clients reach out to us and say that we weren't doing our job because he should have 500 pages on his website was what someone told him. And I said, 500 pages of what? He's like, I don't know. I just need 500 pages. I was like, well, we can just put 500 pages of fluff if you really want. But at the end of the day, go look at your keywords that you're ranking for. And he's in a small town, right? Kind of what we referenced earlier in terms of depending on the market that you're in. Small town, very few people. And he was ranking number one for every keyword possible that he could rank for in like a, gosh, what was it that? Like a 30-ish mile radius?
Something like that.
Yeah. Like it's obnoxious how well he's doing, right? To an extent. And to take blind advice from someone just doesn't make sense. And, you know, I gave a talk a couple of weeks ago at a Service Titan Marketing Summit, and I had someone come up and ask about a strategy that I had talked about in the message. And I was like, well, hold on, before you go and execute on that, let's take a look at how you're showing up. And I pulled up his search grids on, it was a Google Maps strategy. And I was like, you don't need it. You're good. Don't do it. It's just going to be extra work. You don't need it. You're showing up well. You're working what, like it's working already what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I think coming back to your point from earlier, Crystal, too, if you don't rely on the data that exists, whether that's within your CRM, if you have it, or at least using some of the tools that exist to see how you're showing up online in order to make decisions, you're just doing it blindly. And a lot of those could end up hurting you versus helping you.
Yeah. I mean,
and those people that just comment like, well, so-and-so said like that will drive us absolutely bonkers. I mean, like, you know, we've ran into this a few times recently. We'll be helping a client with a rebrand and they're like, well, I asked my business coach. My business coach said this. I'm like, your business coach ain't ever seen anything branding, looked at it, like P&L statements. Okay. Like, you know, yeah.
Why are your business coach probably hasn't even ran a business.
Oh,
yeah. But yeah,
let me see his P&Ls.
Yeah, out the noise and being able to trust experts and what they say, and either being willing to sit still. So like you said, like, hey, you don't need to do anything else, or hey, here's where we hit the gas this way, this method, and now this timing. It just takes so much. You got to get rid of the noise, cut out the fluff, and find those experts that you can trust them and build that relationship. Show up to the meetings, look at the dashboard, seek to understand the dashboard so that you can have these conversations with them.
Absolutely. But even when you have an expert, you still have to ask yourselves, how does this apply to me? You know, that I had some rules before I gave my message. And the second rule was, don't believe a word I say, because I'm only speaking from one person's perspective. And that's me.
Wow. Right?
I can make that off of my data and the data that I have of all of our clients, but that doesn't apply to your specific business. And that's what we need to take a look at before you make changes, well, decisions.
I know that on purpose, like, you guys have this like commitment to transparency and like this purpose-driven strategy kind of that you've talked about. Like, what is transparency? Like, when you guys say that, what does that mean exactly to a contractor, that to just a basic good old contractor? What does that mean, transparency, from a digital vendor?
It means you own your shit.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't care if it's your Google Ads account, your LSA, your GMB, your domain, your website. Like, you need to own all of it. It's yours. We're going to work on it. We're going to work within it, but it's yours. And we want you to own that asset at the end of the day. It also means that we're going to pop the hood whenever we need to, right? If you want to ask questions about what's going on in your Google Ads account, we'll show you. We show clients where the change history is in Google Ads. So you can see if we've been working in your accounts or not. Mm. Right? Everyone can access that. As long as you have read-only access into your Google Ads account, because I know some marketers, they don't want you to make changes in it. And so they'll give you read-only access to it. You can still see what the change history is. So you can see how active your marketing company is in there. Did they set it and forget it? Or are they actively going in there and still marking off negative keywords that you shouldn't be showing up for, adding new keywords, testing different ad groups, testing different ad sets, different landing pages, etc.? Are they trying to get better and better results?
Here's the other part of that too, is that if we fuck up, I mean, I don't actually know if we can swear on your show, but I hope we can. I asked a question in the private chat and you just went LOL. So, but like, here's the thing is, if we fuck up, we're going to own it, right? We own our mistakes and we're not going to hide behind some fluffy answer that most marketers would. We're like, nope, nah, that's our bad. That's on us, mm-hmm. right? We messed up and we own it.
Well, and you know, something like Lemon Seed lives by this too. Like, listen, we're so customized. Like, every single client that we talk to, like, we have some guideline templates that we use, like, for best practices. But when we're talking to a client with a mascot that's a dog and their colors are blue and yellow and they're in a metro market and they have $400,000 budget, that's much different than this small rural guy who doesn't have a mascot. You know, our strategies are so different and we miss things. We miss a deadline or we do something. Like, I'm the first one, like, almost to a fault, to be like, man, I am so sorry. We messed that up. Let me go back. Here's your money back for this. Let us fix this and do this. We are all, like, if anything, we overcompensate sometimes. And on the other side of that, like, I'm dealing with some vendors right now, and I'm like, dude, like, just say, you know what? I don't know what happened right here. Let us look back. Let us do this. But instead, like, man, we grab contractors by their balls, for that's a lot for me to say. And we just, like, hang on tight. Like, I'm like, man, they trusted you, things went wrong, and you are like abandoning them when they need you. Like, I'm over here fighting hard, like me and the contractor, like I'm over here just fighting for people because it's so weaselly. I don't know what other word to use. And I'm not talking about simple things like, you know, the client didn't pay and now they're mad that you're making them pay a late fee. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about, like, we told you that we wanted to optimize these three cities. You were only working on these two cities. And now you're like, well, y'all didn't tell me in the right way, you know, and all these, like, it just gets so clouded. And, you know, do the right thing. And I think it comes back to you 10 times more than trying to collect that little pissant $750 that you're trying to get from somebody. Yeah. So I can get crazy about that stuff right now.
We hit a cord, got riled up.
Yes. I can get wild.
Like, we just hate that it's such a thing right now, you know, and like, right. That we are literally battling for our clients with some of these digital vendors. And like, it is just mind boggling. So it's like, why would you, one, be so strict on your own, but like when you are wrong, and then also being so willing to burn that bridge. I mean, I think we all know here, like, all these bridges connect in this industry, and you are burning mm-hmm. that one and not allowing for them to ever come back or for you to get anyone else, you know? And so, it can just be mind boggling to us a little bit, but yeah, the transparency and the willingness to kind of open up the hood and then just like admitting when you're wrong. Like, I think that's huge. And I think that's something that one, contractors can relate to, but then will appreciate, and you will earn that trust so much more when you're able to do that.
Right. Well, and that's exactly the biggest thing when you can own those mistakes. But the other part is like, why burn the bridge, guys? Like, This is any digital marketer that's listening to this. I mean, heck, any contractor that's listening to this, why burn the bridge? It makes zero sense. One of our clients, and I've known him before we had the digital marketing agency, you're only as good as your last day. And that's what he always used to say about his employees. You're only as good as your last day. But another mentor of ours is love your people out the door. If they're leaving for whatever reason, or even if you're removing them from the business, you know, love them out the door. But the same can be said about your clients. Okay. Love them out the door, because if you, and we've had this happen before in our agency where we've loved these people out the door and they realize the grass isn't greener on the other side. Well, guess what? They came back. Yep. If we would have just said, nope, bye, have fun, you don't own your stuff. Well, guess what? Yeah. We're never going to get that person back.
Yeah, no. And they tell others, and like it is a small world. Like, you know, I just think there's so much more power in being transparent and being honest and building relationships with each other. It's still business. Like, it's still, there's still things that might happen. But at the end of the day, it's more about exactly like how you left. Like, we have the best onboarding ever. And we were like, you know what? We need the best offboarding ever as well to make sure that those things go great. Mm-hmm. So, well, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Hey, if people wanted to reach out to you guys, like, for specific services, how can they reach out to you for that?
You put a letter in an envelope, you attach it to the carrier pigeon, they fly it up to Canada, they land on the dog sled, the dog then takes it, and then they drive it up to our igloo.
Perfect. Can you share your office number with us? So that way, speed that up.
Right. Onpurposemedia.ca is the website. You can also find us on both Evan and myself. We're pretty active on Facebook. So you can just search our names and find us that way too.
And you guys,
or you can shoot us a text. You can shoot us a text at 719-824-1377.
Okay. Awesome.
That might be a little bit quicker than the carrier pigeon option.
Well, thank you guys for joining us today. Really great hearing your guys' philosophy and insight to digital and stuff. And I'll share one quick little story. And so we see these guys a lot at shows. And so I got to meet Thaddeus in person for the first time at a Women in HVAC event, which was, because Crystal is a Women in HVACR board member, I am also by auxiliary, I feel like. And so they had forgotten to put up a banner that had all of their major donors and, you know, people that give them tens of thousands of dollars, they need this banner up. And so like, it's the evening event. I'm in a beaded gown, high heels, things like that, struggling to get the banner up. It's 8 foot tall. We need the pole. Thaddeus sees the struggle over here. So he rushes over to help me. Another friend jumps in. She breaks the pole in half. It was behind the thing. But we eventually got it up, but it just goes to show like, hey, you guys are good people. They saw us at a show not too long ago struggling with the recording podcast and like, oh, just turn this knob. I'm like, thank you. Needed that. But you guys are good people and looking to help make a difference to contractors. And like you said, beyond just yourself, like that's your whole goal and your whole purpose on Purpose Media. And so really appreciate that about you guys.
You're very welcome. And we fixed it with duct tape of all things. Yes, duct tape. It might not have been straight after we fixed it, but hey, you know what? It got put up. So.
That's right. That's right.
It was up. It was
done
up.
Is better than perfect.
100%.
Yes. And also make sure you guys go check out their podcast as well. HVAC Secrets Revealed. That's what I call it. Is that the correct name?
HVAC Success Secrets Revealed. Yep. You can hit it on our website onpurposemedia.ca/HVAC Revealed. And we'll go to there, or just onpurposemedia.ca and you'll see it on the top middle on the menu bar.
And they're braver than Emily and I. Like, they go live a lot. They do lots of cool things. So make sure you're checking out their social channels. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of From the Yellow Chair. If you loved what you heard, we'd love to have a review. We would love to hear from you. Want to be a guest on our show? Please reach out to us at hello@lemonseedmarketing.com.
Thanks for listening.